This is an egghead.io podcast. All right, I'm here with Joel Hooks and Kent Christopher Dodds. This is John Christopher Lindquist. We're going to go ahead and introduce ourselves first. So I'm going to have Joel go. Joel, what's your experience with React? What have you done with it in the past? And anything about yourself that's interesting?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Interesting. With John, I co-founded Egghead.io, and it's built on Rails. But over the last year, we've switched it over to, for the most part, being a React front end, which has been a very interesting experience to move from the world of templates into an API driven React page. So been busy at that, and then kind of building the features and stuff that you see on Egghead, and building components, and spent a lot of time in React over the last year, and really love it.
Sweet, Kent.
Yeah, so I'm Kent C. Dodds. My background with React, I actually remember listening to JavaScript Jabber, the episode about React, the first episode they did about React, when I was on my way to the first NG Conf in 2014. And just like, oh, whatever, this React thing, like, I'm going to Angular Conf, like, this is going to be sweet. And so, yeah, it was a while later, a couple months later, that I decided to just give it some time, I think we're going to talk about this some more. But I got a little bit of a story with my experience with React.
Are you guys soulmates now, you and React?
Yeah.
No, I love when people find technology they love, and it's something that they feel they can evangelize and get behind. It's great. Tell me more about that, that first experience with React. Was when you first started playing with it, was it the automatically fall in love with it? Or was it this is so different than the directives and components I'm used to then?
Yeah. So it was kind of like a mixed bag. When I first looked at it, I was kind of thrown off, like everybody else, I think I was thrown off by the JSX stuff, screaming in my head was the separation of concerns, which is like something I didn't actually understand at the time, but thought I understood a little bit. And then Pete Hunt gave a talk, I think, at JSConf in like 2014 or something, where he kind of picks apart the separation of concerns bit. And I think that was really good talk, and that kind of smooth things over for me. So when I finally actually tried out React, followed along with the docs, there was one section in the docs that said give it 5 minutes, and so I was like, okay, I'll give it 5 minutes, and it was literally like 5 minutes into trying out this JSX thing, I was like, oh yeah, this is awesome. And so from then I was like really heavy into Angular. And this was like late 2014, I think. And actually, if you go back in my tweets around that time, I as I was reading through the docs, there were just like a whole bunch of hidden gems in the docs of like good software like principles that I just thought were so good. So I like tweeted out like quotes from the docs, which was not easy to do back in the good old days of 140 characters.
Long time ago.
Yeah, it was not easy, but it was, I was just really impressed, by the principles, but it still was like another year or so before I started to actually use React regularly. I was still very heavy into Angular 1, and loving it there, but I finally totally switched over, when I started working at PayPal. That was actually part of the motivation, was like the job I was at, there was no way we're going to be able to rewrite or even start using React. So I started looking around because I really liked the idea of using React for my day job, and found PayPal. So anyway, now I'm doing React. And that was about 2 years ago. So
it's funny for me, because I was doing Angular too. Angular also. But like I saw Pete Hunt actually give a talk at Strange Loop, and it was the first time I really looked at React and was like, he's amazing. And like, you can watch him talk and he'll convince you that, hey, just give it a try. And, at the time I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I knew there was something there, but like the, thinking in components, that article that was in the docs, the thinking in components article, was like, this is really like how I feel you should be writing software. And I actually took that. And while I was giving Angular training for a year and a half, 2 years, I'd reference that document. I'd be like, we're going to build our Angular directives in this approach. And we're going to use components and we're going to do it in this kind of React style component architecture. And it worked really well there. And that, and to me, like that was the big thing, right? We're thinking about components. We're composing things and structuring our application in this component driven, you know, so we have these independent, everything's a component and the application is just a big component. And, you know, it's all the way down to the bottom. And, like I still to this day love that. And thinking in components, that article was really something that stuck with me and kind of almost changed how I thought about developing applications. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. I felt the same way and it changed. I remember tweeting something like, you know, just trying React out for a couple hours has made me a better Angular developer or just a better JavaScript developer because applying those same principles in my Angular stuff. And actually like kind of a funny story, like during this period of time that I was starting to like React a little bit, I proposed a talk to JFocus, which is in Sweden. I wasn't aware of that at the time that I proposed, but it was a talk that I actually, it was like using React inside an Angular application was the title of the talk.
Oh yeah.
And I had never actually done that before, but I saw a video on Egghead where, oh shoot, who was it? Joe did that. In a video on Egghead, he rendered a D3 chart with React inside of Angular or something like that. And so I was like, oh, dude, I can make a talk out of that. And I got my first international speaking gig.
Nice.
Still having not ever actually used React seriously. So, yeah, that's kind of funny.
I think it's cool seeing the evolution and the velocity of ES6 kind of going alongside of React at the same time where, like Angular 1 was ES5 and everyone was still doing everyone was writing regular old functions. No one knew what object spread was. And then as it seems like React helped push ES6 forward, even that, you know, it's pushing features forward as because people want to write in a more functional component style. And seeing like in your intro course, you almost take for granted that you're doing an object spread on with props or that you're writing an arrow function. Like that's so natural for you now, whereas just, you know, however many years ago or last year, that's brand new stuff. But for people just starting out now, they get all these helpful features that are going
to... Yeah, like modules. And, you know, I love that like arrow functions and spreads are just like normal, right? Like that's code normal now. If you're doing it the other way, then... it's probably not as normal. And that always depends on your code base. But like, you know, if you're writing new software right now, then you're probably using these things. And I remember the transition. It was tough because I was, you know, I'm traveling around and doing these trainings and the developers everybody's just kind of confused as, you know, what's what. Right. And 2006, 2000, you know, ES6, 2016, 2015, you know, what am I supposed to do? And, you know, now we're a little bit past that hump in general. Though, you know, most tutorials on the internet are still in the old fashioned way. So we're trying to change that obviously, but you know, it's been an interesting transition and, you know, like that and TypeScript pushing the envelope and all these cool tools that we have and seeing JavaScript mature, in a lot of ways as a language has been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. I kind of take for granted that not everybody, understands or is used to the latest features in JavaScript, but the fact that they're actually running in browsers and everything just makes me feel like, you know, people should know and understand what like the, you know, default params are just as well as they know how to declare a variable or use a try catch or something. It's all just as much a part of the language now. And it like, I mean, you compare something like default params to the alternative and like clearly it is so much better. So I don't mind. I'm really excited to be able to use this newer syntax, even if it may be a little unfamiliar to people, because I think like you catch on pretty quick. Like maybe you need to watch the video again or something if you're not familiar. But in like ultimately, the alternative would be to do all of this weird old stuff that we used to do to get that same functionality.
Yeah, you'd probably bring in a Lodash or something.
Yeah, and we had the transition at Egghead, right? Like when, because we're recording video, and video just by its nature is kind of, you know, it's immutable, right? Like we can change it, but at the end of the day, like once you record a video, it's a pain, you know, unlike text or whatever. So it was like ES6 comes around and we're like, well, what do we do? And the general rule is like, we use ES6 and it doesn't become normal and people don't get used to it until.
Yeah, with Tracer, I recorded all those Tracer lessons.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like how do we be part of the solution, right? Like, cause there's a lot of places you can go learn to code JavaScript on the internet that are still using the old syntax and not using the new syntax. And that's fine. But at the same time, you know, how do you push that forward? And it's just, you know, you have to be vocal and kind of stick to it, but then also at the same time, provide the resources and help and understanding that folks don't know this and they might need some extra help. So we can, you know, push the envelope that way too.
Yeah. And I think, Ken, what you did was perfect. You have to treat that. If it's a language feature, you have to treat it as a normal thing and kind of make that assumption that this is what JavaScript is. We use const now. We use object spread. We use arrow functions. Like that's just normal things to do that normal developers do every day. And it's, you don't pause every time and say, I'm going to write an arrow function now. If you haven't seen it before, it's just like a function and it automatically returns. Like you don't, I think the more you do that, the more you turn people away from it, that it's some weird thing that they don't need to, you know, bother with. But yeah.
Yeah, totally. I think that like for anybody who's listening and not familiar with ES6, like there are a lot of resources to go learn it. I mean, it's a lot of new features. And so if you've been using JavaScript a long time and you're not used to these new features, like I think it behooves you to learn these things because eventually your coworkers are going to start using these features. And you want to use these features because like they're legitimately useful. And so, yeah, like if you're not super familiar with these things, then a couple of the things that I do in my courses are going to be a little confusing. So I definitely suggest brushing up on at least ES6 stuff before jumping into the courses.
There is, of course, an Egghead course on learning ES6 that covers the new features and gives you a nice little translation to plug that.
Yeah, in. Yeah.
Ken, you want to talk about some of the goals of the beginner course? What you, where people like the
should
kind
should
of
tell people like knowledge. So.
Yeah,
so Ken has two new courses that he's putting out on Egghead. One of them's a beginner's course, so like jumping right into React without a bunch of prior React knowledge, and then an advanced component course, which are both excellent.
Yeah. Thanks, Joel. so yeah, my goal of the beginner course was that like lots of times I'll see beginner, like quote unquote beginner courses for React or beginner material, and they jump right into like custom components and state management. And like sometimes they even include something like Redux, which totally blows my mind. Like, why would you teach a brand new beginner Redux?
To make them sad.
Yeah. Yeah. So like the goal of the beginner's guide to React is to start right from square one and to not have any superfluous tools. The entire thing is like every single lesson in both courses, with the exception of one, is an index.html file. So you can literally copy paste the code into your text editor and pull that up in a browser and it'll work. And so, yeah, like it you don't need Webpack or create React app, as easy as that makes things. It's still a barrier to people's learning and it's just an extra abstraction. So it's all just one file. And so I think that makes things simpler. And then also like the very, very first lesson, it starts with a totally blank file. So you watch the entire thing progress from absolutely nothing, which I think is an important piece as well. And before we even get into React, I show, okay, so here's how you create DOM. This is like using regular JavaScript. We're going to write our own little like tiny implementation of creating an element and rendering that to the page. And now let's refactor that to React's APIs, which provide a couple niceties there. And then we'll refactor that to JSX. And I have a lesson all about like what JSX is, how it differs from regular HTML, I show like how like what the Babel transpiler does to the JSX as well. So I feel like it it's more beginner than most beginner courses that I have seen, and so that's why I created it, because I feel like people need it's not just like people need to be able to write React components. I want people to understand what's happening when they write JSX and what's happening when they render certain things, and why you need a key on an element when it's rendered as an array. Like, what does the key property do, and what happens if you don't include the key, and what do you use for the key? That those kinds of things, which I think are a mystery for even advanced React developers. So getting this really basic fundamental understanding of what React is, what it's doing, was kind of my goal for
it. It was funny when you pitched it, I was like, well, that's kind of nuts. Like, why would we do that? Why wouldn't you just use Create React App? Right? It's there and we can use it. And then, you know, as I watched it and then, you know, like took a second to listen to you and understand your motivations, I was like, Create React App it's wonderful, right? Like, it's a wonderful software. I get Dan Abramov gets to like maintain my build for me. And that's how I look at that. And that's fantastic. I still actually understand what's going on with Create React App. And sometimes, you know, when you've been doing this for a while, you take that for granted, right? Like, I get it. I get Webpack. I get Babel. I don't want to do that, right? Like, I don't want to maintain that, or, you know, I know when I need to inject or whatever. But when you're starting, that just, you know, it looks simple, but it's not. It's just easy, right? Like, typing Create React App is easy, but it's intensely complex, where when you take this approach where, hey, I just start with a blank page, here's some HTML, and now I'm going to drop a script import in there, and we're going to go to town and write some React without all that complexity. That is truly simple, and it's actually pretty nice, and takes a lot of the initial kind of fog of war dissipates for you, and you're like, oh, okay, well, I know HTML, and I know some JavaScript, so I can get in here, and I can start learning this thing without a bunch of, you know, you don't have to have Node or NPM or any of that even installed. You can just get in there and you know, start learning, and that's a great approach, and you know, after consuming it, I was like, I really, really appreciate that you did it that way versus the more complex way.
Good. Yeah. Thanks, Joel. I'm glad to hear that feedback. Yeah. So I do understand and realize eventually, like, you are going to want to ship something for real. And so, like, I mean, most of the little toy apps that we build, like that people are using Create React App to build, they could probably just use an index.html file to build those little toy apps. And honestly, I don't know why we don't, because yeah, like the experience is pretty good. But like in any case, there's actually a tool that sits between index.html and Create React App that I think is just so good, and it's codesandbox.io. So for the last lesson in the beginner's guide to React, I show you codesandbox.io, how like what its role is in your development workflow, and how you could actually build and deploy an app all right within Code Sandbox. And then you can, like, if you really want to get serious about things and like have a team work on it and whatever, then you can pull it down and what it gives you is actually Create React App. So it's you start with your index.html, you build something, a little prototype, then you want to share it with people or something. So you go to Code Sandbox, you copy paste all this stuff into Code Sandbox. And then you want to like really get serious about this. Maybe you want to inject or something. Then you pull it down and it's just to Create React App for you.
That the export to GitHub too, which I think is pretty new. I saw something just in the last couple of days where you can push a button and then all of a sudden you have a repo and you're going to town and have version control. It's like, what?
Awesome. Yeah, man. I actually just used that last night. And I'm totally blown away. Like, you can make commits, you can make pull requests, you can do all kinds of stuff. So like now I'm thinking maybe I should get that Pixel book from Chrome, from Google, and I don't even need a local environment anymore.
That's been the dream. I've seen developers wishing that they could do that, that they could just have, you know, the Chromebook or the new Pixel book or something, and you know, it's all in the cloud and you're just going to town and developing. And like, it's all, you know, they've been doing cloud IDEs for a few years, but like it keeps getting closer and closer. And especially, you know, when you have people doing the kind of like innovative work that I think Code Sandbox is totally doing, like it's, you know, really pushing the envelope of having this online code bin type thing. And you know, it's just great to see that that could be a reality. You know, you can have this ultralight thing. You can just, you know, fire it up and code anywhere, fix a bug or do whatever in an environment that really just functions as you'd hope it would.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny thinking back to, like, you started the course just writing HTML, and it's funny thinking back to actually writing HTML and using jQuery with selectors to add functionality to little pieces of the DOM. And it's just so how it's flipped it on its head now, and where, like, my index HTML page is one div with a ID on it usually, and then all the script tags underneath it. Like, that's all it is anymore. Like, the change we've gone through over the past 5-10 years, whatever it's been, and thinking about what that could turn into in the future is kind of blows my mind. But
yeah, it's weird. I write a lot of JSX, but not very much HTML, and they're so similar. So sometimes you kind of forget that they're two different things. But, like, it's literally, you know, I have the root file, and the rest of it's these package components where my styles and my markup and my JavaScript are all sitting there in the same file, which, you know, if you had told me I would be doing that 5 years ago, I would have thrown up in my mouth a little bit and laughed at you a little bit before, you know, just kind of staring blankly into space. I wouldn't have believed it, but it's weird to see it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's how it is now, right?
Talks were about importing HTML into HTML and including it inside of itself and writing more and more DOM. And, like, that's kind of silenced, and now it's just one HTML file with 1,000 JavaScript files, and this kind of makes me chuckle.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And actually, like, another motivation to using the index HTML for all the lessons was to kind of stick it to the man a little bit. A lot of people complain that React is really hard to get started with because there's all this tooling around it and stuff, and so I was like, no, listen, it is not hard to get started with. I can tweet to you what you need to start out with using React. It's really easy. And I think that it's cool because we can build little toy apps like that. But the apps of 5 years ago are not the apps of today. And that's why we are writing our markup and our JavaScript and our CSS in a single file.
Yeah, we're building applications now. We're not.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like a little page with, that's rendered on the server and sprinkle a couple interactive pieces and then full page refresh everywhere you go. But it's an actual full application running on the client. So yeah, sure, things are going to be a little bit more complicated, but that doesn't mean that, like, when we're getting started into it, it needs to be complicated.
I still want to call them rich internet applications sometimes. Yeah. I don't, because it just dates me.
Yep. So let's talk about some of the advanced stuff. So before we get there, what have you seen kind of during the history of React? Do you think there's, like, these patterns that have been discovered that, or were they always there and people just didn't use them? Because it seems like some of these higher order components and render props and all these things that people are talking about and using now, like, a couple of years ago, it just wasn't, like, it never even came up in conversation.
Yeah, I think that the React community, and this is one of the exciting things about it too, is it's still growing up. And well, just in general, the JavaScript community is still growing up and still exploring and reinventing, you know, things that existed, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, but just in a JavaScript context. And that's super exciting to me. So, like, actually, none of the patterns in my advanced React component course were impossible a couple of years ago. I can't remember exactly when React context was a thing, but I'm pretty sure that was, like, at least 0.14. So it's been a long time that you've been able to do all this stuff. But back in the day, we had stuff like mixins, and that was the, you know, the blessed way to create or to share code between components. But then, you know, there were a whole bunch of problems with mixins, and then ES6 classes were coming. And so they thought, okay, we want to get rid of this React.create class thing and just have people define their components as extending as a class that extends the React component base class. And then they can add their lifecycle hooks and whatever. And then they added, you know, function components, and oh my goodness, that was really nice. Makes it a lot easier to just create one-off components really quickly. And so, yeah, like none of these patterns are like they're kind of new, but they're not, they're kind of like discoveries of recent years. Just out of like necessity, basically, like when Mixins, when they were getting rid of create class, they needed a new way to share code. And so they, Sebastian Markvej, one of the core React members, just thought, hey, like maybe we could use this thing. And it got called higher order components, which is kind of a misnomer because the higher order component is a function which returns a component, and neither the function, like the function is not a component, and the component that it returns has nothing, like it's not higher order at all. So it's kind of weird, but that's what it's called.
To me, I always look at them, and all I can think of is the Gang of Four design patterns with a decorator. Like it's this decorator pattern that we're using. And I know decorator is a loaded term because we have decorators also, but like that's basically what that particular piece does too, right? It just wraps this thing and decorates it and makes it have new functionality.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So higher order components kind of took off, especially in lots of popular libraries, and so lots of people started using them. But they actually, there were a lot of fundamental problems with Mixins that, like, even when we had Mixins, we were like struggling with. And then higher order components solved some of those, but aggravated a few and left several problems unsolved. And so then I'm not sure when exactly this was. I feel like it was quite a while ago, but React Motion came out with this thing called, I don't know what they called it at the time, but it's what we now know as a render prop. And so for the, like in React JSX, the stuff you put between the opening tag and the closing tag is called the children prop. And normally you'll just put more JSX in there. Well, you can, when you do the curly braces in JSX, that you exit JSX land and enter JavaScript land, and you can put any expression in there that you want to. And so like React Motion was like, oh, hey, why don't we put a function in there, and then we'll call your function with, you know, the coordinates or whatever are we're animating here, and then you can return JSX and we'll render that. And so that was actually quite a while ago. It took a while for this idea to catch on. But for a long time, it was called function as child components, because the child prop was a function. And then I think the first one to really call it a render prop was Ryan Florence. We had a Twitter conversation about it a while back. But anyway, it was kind of like when you put a function inside of that children, it kind of breaks your mental model of you know, JSX or HTML. You know, inside of the open and closing tag, you're going to put some more HTML like stuff or XML like stuff in there. And when you put a function in there, it kind of is confusing for people. And Ryan Florence, who's like taught like countless people and this particular pattern, saw the look on people's faces when he introduced it as a children prop like that, or as just a regular prop that you assign to a function. And he called that prop render.
Yeah, and you give it a name and people are like, oh.
Yeah. It was more straightforward for people. I think because lots of people still don't quite understand that children area is just another prop. So it eventually made its way to being called a render prop. And I used a render prop for my library Downshift, and that kind of helped get it some steam, get the idea some steam. And then couple months later, Michael Jackson gave this talk basically saying, hey, never use a higher order component. You can always do everything with a render prop. You never need a higher order component. And that I think is really what pushed the render prop pattern forward.
What's funny to me is it's the most JavaScript-y thing you can do, right? Because you're effectively passing a callback you know, in as a property, right? Like, so you get your callback and it does what you want it to do, and you get all the closure space over your function, and then you get those properties back, and you can just go to town. You're totally right. Like the children thing, and I know this is why people are confused, is you put it in there and it's like behind the scenes naming it children, But if you give it this explicit name, now it's like, oh, that's my render function. It's not some weird dangling bit of JavaScript that sits between two curly braces in between two, you know, what look like HTML tags. This is, you know, this thing that I pass in and I own and control and know the name of. And it, mm-hmm. it really did, like, it pushed it forward, and it's clear, and, you know, like, just the flexibility you get versus, you know, like, you talk about namespace collisions and that sort of things that happens with higher order components, and you get to avoid this whole, like, multiple classes of problem if you approach it in this respect. And honestly, I haven't done that a lot in my own code, and, you know, having watched this, I'm like, I'm kind of eager to go implement and start doing it for some of the components that I've written recently. Like, I'm like, I can really use this and start doing this and make my code better like immediately. So good stuff. Mm.
Yeah, that's what I hope, is that people after watching this just like, oh snap, like that component I wrote last week, I could rewrite it as a render prop or use the provider pattern or you know, I can use a state initializer here and that'll just make it so much better. You know, I'm hoping that these patterns will make their components better, more flexible, and ultimately make it more enjoyable to develop their applications. So that's good to hear, Joel.
Yeah, I was on lesson three, and I sent a message to John in Slack. I was like, I think I've already learned 5 things.
Oh, snap.
And I've been doing this for a while, right? Like, I've been programming computers for a decade, and, you know, I've been doing React for, you know, well over a year, and have done this quite a bit, and, like, watch this and really, really learn some stuff. So that's just cool. Like, I dig that, right? Like, when, like, learning is one of my favorite things. So when somebody shows me something new, I think it's and, you know, especially when it rings true, and you know, every like it really did for me. So.
Yeah, it's really easy to get comfortable with the way you currently do things and then just kind of shut out new things.
My joke is the whole code normal, which, like, I own that .com, codenormal.com, and normal is always relative, right? Like, that's kind of my joke. I tell people to code normal, and, like, it always depends. And normal in, like, one organization or one individual, it's always different and totally subjective. But once you get into that, once you know, have what your normal is, you just kind of, you know, it's like, it's habitual. It's what you do. You wake up and brush your teeth, and that's just how it is. And, you know, like, to have it shaken up a little bit and then see something that's like, oh, if I did it this way, then everything's better. That's always like the epiphanies of software. Like, they seem to kind of be never ending to me. Like, that's why one of the things I enjoy about it, it's like a puzzle that's always shifting and showing new yeah. facets.
I mean, you'll see so many people fight against a JSX, or a community fight against JSX. And then finally they're like, well, I guess everyone's doing it and it's working for everyone. So I give up that fight. And people
and
fight
if you're,
against
you're still on the fence on JSX. It's fine. It really yeah. is. After, you know, like Kent said, you know, after reading that, it's like, give it 5 minutes. Like, literally, like, it just goes away and the tools are there. At first, like, it was like a string and it was really weird because the tools didn't support it. But now, you know, it's like, VS Code and WebStorm and whatever your tool of choice is probably understands it and gives you code hints and all those goodies and highlighting. And, you know, it's the new normal. It's just how it is. And, you know, I don't know. It's been great for me. I like the shorthand and it really works out.
Yeah, definitely. Tools will follow good ideas. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
It'd be nice if tools stayed ahead of good ideas, but
yeah,
that requires some fortune telling.
Yeah, that's a real trick. I'd like to see that.
All right, Kent, anything else you want to share before you wrap up here?
I think that's pretty much it. I just, again, the whole idea of these courses is I want you to come out of it a better React developer than you were before. So even if you're not a beginner to React, I think you'll be able to get a couple of gems out of the beginner's guide because it really gets into the fundamentals of, like, what React is doing and how the JSX stuff is all working. And I think that's a really critical part to you understanding and being able to be more productive with React. And then the advanced patterns, I really hope that people come out of that making their components better and making it more enjoyable to work in their own components. I want to see a lot more open source solutions that use a render prop to, you know, to render an accordion or to, like, make a date picker or something like that. Because I feel like this pattern makes it easier to make our stuff more generic and generally useful and simple at the same time. So I'm really looking forward to these courses getting into the hands of people who are going to build awesome stuff with it.
And the beginner's course is interesting to me. Like, even if you have experience like watching this, like the way you approached teaching React and showing React, like as experienced developers, like it's kind of our job to show newcomers the ropes. And this gives, you know, this really super approachable way that you can kind of explain React and explain what JSX is doing and demonstrate it without, you know, a lot of rigmarole to other people too. And, you know, it's always good to revisit your fundamentals anyway.